You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family. I had to have a chuckle, man. I'm just trying to put stuff together and be in a little disarray, you know what I'm saying, on this Monday morning. In fact, I wasn't even going to be here. I talked about being in Chicago and in Milwaukee, but no. Coronavirus is just too serious, man. Too serious. In fact, I don't think, even though I'm going to announce those trips, but I don't think those trips are going to happen for Brother Bomani Tahemba and for Baba Renoko. So that may not happen, but anyway, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down will show you African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This, once again, is program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Tonight, this evening, on Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed. And then followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kambon and her daughter, Nataki Kambon. Followed by 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations, every first and third Mondays. And today's the first Monday, so this evening, that's in COBRA, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America, with Brother Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, after 7 with host Shani B. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6 on Saturdays. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sundays, once again, Time for an Awakening from 7 to 9 on Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Well, actually, from 7 on, because they don't go exactly at 9 like we do. And the call-in number is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our people to the motherland, providing them with a beautiful experience. We want to make sure that continues. But unfortunately, I believe this trip this year, November 20th through the 30th, may be postponed as well. It's tough. And then he has one December 24th to January 5th. I believe those may not happen. The April trip, April 2nd through the 12th, going to Senegal and Gambia, that may happen. Then, of course, May 24th to June 4th, going to Ghana. And then next year, November 19th through the 29th, going to South Africa. Those may happen, but the other ones don't. But if, listen, brothers, if sisters, go online or give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. But if you want to just go online to look at all the things, because everything is online that he has, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. But if you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Renoko Rashidi, Baba Renoko, his trip, I'm not sure, you know, January 21st to February 4th. That's still on. Beautiful. Going to Uganda and Rwanda. Just beautiful pictures. Go online to drrenoko.com. Drrenoko.com. You can also give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Dr. Renoko Rashidi. Drrenoko.com. Habesha. Habesha. They're doing the work, brothers and sisters. Habesha Incorporated. Org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The programs that they have here, and of course the work that they're doing in Ghana. And I'm not sure of the progress that's supposed to be done by this time, but let me just say this. They are doing the work. These brothers and sisters are to be applauded for the Kashi Project, the future of the Kashi Project, which is, of course, a area of sustainability and agricultural growth and so forth, and what they do here. So they deserve to be supported. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I was in the Greenbrier Mall last week, and I stopped in. Of course, if I go to the Greenbrier Mall, I must stop in at least to say hello to Mama Nia at the Greenbrier Mall. She's doing well. Of course, they had a death in the Medu Metra family, and she showed me the information of the brother who passed. But they're back open. They're doing well, and I just can't wait till we can have some presentations there again and all kind of good stuff at the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. You can get all kinds of books. I mean, if you're looking for a book she doesn't have, I believe you know she will get it. But they have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines right there at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. So please check her out, okay? The Black Dot Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazimde Ajamu, give him a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. He has his coffee bar up, all kind of other good things that are happening, books, apparel, all kinds of stuff. Just check him out at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, because you know there is light in the Black Dot, 404-519-8107. Wada. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy. And, of course, give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, their Thursday night broadcast on Block Talk Radio. Us Lifting Us, the Block Talk Radio broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night. But if you just want to call in and give questions or comments, you can just call in just to listen at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Real, who's doing outstanding work in the northeast portion of Haiti. Outstanding work. She deserves to be supported. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, and see for yourself all the good things that they are doing. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti are educating our young warriors. They definitely deserve to be supported. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. For Cash App, the dollar sign, Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, B-A-R-U-T-I, Baruti. Okay. Also, too, let me see, where am I at? Am I here with that? No, I'm not. Am I here with this? Yes, I am. I'm here with this one. Resisting Feminism this Saturday. That's right, November 7th. Resisting Feminism, and that's from 4 to 6, online program. What you need to do is make your donation to the Cash App. If on the PayPal account, the PayPal, Ya Baruti, Y-A-A-B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. Include Resisting Feminism, your name, and the email address to send the streaming link to. That's Resisting Feminism. And the other program this Saturday is Prayers of Gratitude for Us Warriors. This is Baba Baruti's program. His is Saturday, this Saturday, from 12 to 2. From 12 to 2. Same thing applies. Go online to and make your donation, $10, $5 for the young brothers. Once again, to the PayPal at yabaruti at yahoo. Yabaruti at yahoo. Include prayers of gratitude in your name and your email address, so they can send you the link so you can stream this Saturday. And, of course, Baba Baruti's at from 12 to 2, and mine is from 4 to 6. Kibuka. The Kibuka going to be online from November 21st, Saturday, November 21st, from 5 to 9. That is looking at the Ma'atha through the eyes of our ancestors. Once again, it's $20 donation for family, $15 for a couple, $10 for an adult, $5 for children. And it's via PayPal or Cash App. And then, of course, include Kibuka, K-E-B-U-K-A, your name and the email address to send a link to. That's Saturday, November 21st. Sunday, November 15th, Ibaka Sunsumsum, African Spiritual Warfare with Mama Marimba Ani. This is the 17th annual Race First African Ancestral War Plan. That is Sunday from 12:30 to 6:30. This is not streaming. This is an in-person, and as she sent me the information saying that if you are not comfortable, we understand that, but for those who may be comfortable to be with the group, you know, if your conscience and your spirit allows you, please do. That is going to be Saturday. Excuse me. It's going to be Sunday, November 15th. Habaka Sinsumsum. Okay. A lot of stuff I'm going to throw at you today.
And the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Of course, I wasn't here Friday. Well, I was. But I decided, and Brother Kwaku put a good program on, a previous program. I want to thank that brother all the time, man. I appreciate it. So we left off with Lester Velt Middleton, a saying by him. And, of course, I promote Lester Velt Middleton. I don't promote him. What I do is encourage you, because I have a quote that I have here for you to go online, for you to go to YouTube and check out some of the interviews he did with our great warrior scholars. And there are many. They're very good. So, the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read the ones that we missed. And, of course, today's October 29th. Once you make up your mind to cross a river by walking through, you do not complain of getting your stomach wet. An Ewan proverb. There are so many forces working against us being African that it can become so easy and even relieving for those not truly dedicated to being themselves to impartially complain about what they consider to be an undue hardship and slip into a less demanding psychology. Difficulty has never been an issue for those of us who know that to be anything other than our African selves is insanity. And insanity is to be avoided by any and every means necessary. In fact, we are on a life quest of struggle because we know only in this way we will the path to our most ancient, uncompromised selves become clear. Ashe. Affirm, I struggle toward the knowledge and the way of truth without complaint. Affirm, I struggle toward the way of knowledge and truth without complaint. October 30th. The more invasion is acute and those invaded are alienated from the spirit of their own culture and from themselves, the more the latter want to be like the invaders. We walk like them. We dress like them. We talk like them. Pablo Freire. Intellectualizers are those who talk with the well-read skills of an academician, but who do so only for self-grandizement and acumentation. Intellectualizers act as if their words are not guided by the politics of those who pay to play them, especially when their words serve as entertainment for those benefactors. One of their most important defining characteristics is that they do not act on what they argue, or they believe that their ramblings or their debates they engage in is actually a liberation battle. Negro intellectualizers have well studied and internalized Eurasians. They have mastered the Eurocentric interpretations of reality. They have spent an enormous amount of time and energy trying to convince peoples of Eurasians' correctedness using as many theories, assumptions, and convoluted logic as possible. It is neither a thinking or political presentation because their words are not designed to transform our people into more critical thinkers. If this were to happen, intellectualizers would no longer have a place. Therefore, their words are meant only to impress others with the wealth of their European intellect. The politics of their words follow the dictates of the powers that be, even when they appear to be fighting them because their survival is dependent upon the alms of these powers. Alms. Affirm, I am no intellectualizer. Affirm, I am no intellectualizer. October 31st. A civilization that proves incapable of solving the problems it creates is a decadent civilization. A civilization that chooses to close its eyes to its most critical problems is a sickened civilization. A civilization that uses its principles for trickery and deceit is a dying civilization. Amin Sesser. In order to grasp the true meaning of this statement for revolutionaries, we have to know just what is meant by the term civilization. As African conscious of the importance of definitions for perceptions, we must employ the knowledge of our children's treatment in our definition of civilization. The state of civilization should not be measured by the amount or level of mechanical, technical, or societal produces or accumulates. It has been said that whether a society is civilized or not must be judged by the quality of life of its women. This should be changed to its children. We say children because they are the most defenseless of all and dependent on adults for their well-being. The quality of their lives speaks to the character of the society developed by their parents. Therefore, using this definition, if significant numbers of society's children are starving, homeless, mis- and diseducated, sexually violated, drugged or otherwise intoxicated, obese, suicidal, incarcerated, on death row, then that is not a true civilization. Obviously, people in love with the West who believe it is civilized are using the wrong indicators for measuring civilization. Ashe. Affirm, I have not misdefined this reality. Affirm, I have not misdefined this reality. This is not civilization. The people in it are not civil towards each other. November 1st. The problem with the man is that he always gets half the story and then bungles it. Dates back to the Greeks. Tony Katie Bambara. Europeans are the world's greatest imitators, as evident throughout history. Once they feel they have destroyed a people and cannot be stopped from debasing them and taking from them whatever they want and claiming it as their own, they usurp their victims' external characteristics, at least those which do not interfere with their cultural imperatives. In doing so, in their twisted fantasies, they believe they become, or rather possessed, those they imitate. However, because they are arrogant children without even a basic experience or a fundamental spiritual and emotional development and content of those that seek to ingest and assimilate, they fail to realize that they only become who they mimic at a very, very superficial level. Their very heart and soul is missing from their theft. A perfect example of this is found amongst those of them who imitate the drumming, dancing, attire, hairstyle, and especially the spiritual systems, rituals of traditional Africans. Inwardly, Europeans can be nothing other than what they are. For that matter, no one can become what they are not, no matter how convincing the imitation. Affirm, I am who I am to the core. Affirm, I am who I am to the core. Today, November 2nd, though the children of today, we believe we can build the foundation of the next generation upon such a rock of morality, intelligence, strength, that the floods of prescription, prejudice, and persecution may descend upon it in torrents, and yet it will not be moved. Mary Church Terrell. We so often hear that the children are our future, but what does that really mean to a people seemingly and externally entrapped in a prescription, prejudice, and persecution? Does it mean that a future free of others' definition and domination of us should be based on the idea that our children will somehow stumble upon the truth in a sea of lies by themselves? Does it mean that our children are born knowing what is characteristic of them and what is characteristic of others? It is a suggestion that we have no obligation to provide the guidance and order of our children need to understand, and of which continue to build on the African reality, in turn, pass the seriousness of this responsibility on to their children. I would think that we have to live long enough to know that our children must be taught what it means to be liberated Africans, and that those lessons to be effective must come from instruction and instructors who are not contradictory and righteous. Once again, that must come from the instruction and instructors who are non-contradictory and righteous. In order for our children to be re-Africanized nation builders, we need them to be. We have to be the models, the morality, the intelligence, and the strength they need to see in order for them to learn how to be liberators. Affirm, I am a teaching model of morality, intelligence, and strength. Affirm, I am a teaching model of morality, intelligence, and strength. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, I love the Inye Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. Especially that last one. Because we are the models. We are the models. And the problem, of course, is that we don't have a lot of good models. We don't have a lot of good models. Of course, this program is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And of course, this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people. This is a Pan-African program. In fact, our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. There is no other alternative. When Kwame Nkrumah stepped to the fore and liberated Ghana from Europeans, from the British in 1957, in 1961, he had the Speech of Freedom, and he said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government, once again, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. He understood there was going to be a model if it could take place for the rest of the world, a model economically, a model in all so many ways. And of course, some years later, he stated this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How real, how sad, but that was pointed. Marimba Ani, to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects the European has on our ability to think victoriously. If you can't even think it, you can't even visualize it, because what you can't conceive, because what you cannot conceive, you will never achieve. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts, so to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which European leads us is genocide. I know we don't want to hear it. We're scared. We're scared, man. Just like the Caucasian can't handle the truth, we can't either. Just like my good friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah said, yeah, we suffer from cognitive dissonance too. And we're right. European does, no doubt. But we believe that we're inferior. We believe all the things that the European has done to us, and we internalize it and we act on it. Man, let me do this. Because, you know, we're going to talk today. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We're going to talk today about, we're going to talk today about Caucasian evangelicals, white evangelicals, and Donald Trump. You know, they always say death comes in three. So as I'm watching TV this weekend and see on the same day, Saturday, that Sean Connery, the first James Bond, the 007, you know, had passed at 90 years old. And then I see Rance Allen passed. And then I see Herb Adderley passed. Herb Adderley played for the Green Bay Packers in their so-called, quote, glory days of the 60s under Vince Lombardi. Had a fallout with the Packers and demanded to be traded and went to the Dallas Cowboys and won a championship with them. So he, you know, played in four Super Bowls, won three. And played many championships with the Packers under about the 60s. So Herb Adderley passed. And then I saw on Ranch Allen. Right away, my thoughts on Ranch Allen, Bishop Ranch Allen, was Wattstack. He was in Wattstack because he was part of Stack Records. And his song wasn't a gospel song. Well, I guess you could say it because he was a gospel singer, was "You're Lying on the Truth, I'm Gonna Tell It Like It Is." Loved it. "You're Lying on the Truth, I'm Gonna Tell It." You know, he's playing guitar, jamming, lying on the truth. And then they had all the other, because please implore you to go online, go to YouTube. I believe you can watch the whole movie, Wattstack. And if you don't know what Wattstack is, that's when Stack Records was going big with Isaac Hayes, Luther Ingram, Thelma Houston. just an array of stars, you know. Ray of stars, Lance Allen and Barkays. And they went to Los Angeles in 1972, 5 years after the 68 riots in Watts, to put on a concert to benefit the American African community in Watts. And it was produced and directed and made by us. Wattstack. I saw the documentary at the theater, and of course, I always promote it. I watch it every now and then. In fact, probably the Emotions, who are part of Watts. Also, to my favorite group, the Dramatics. The Dramatics were a part of Watts, Stack Records. They didn't appear because they were traveling, but they have the opening song, "What You See Is What You Get." They have the opening song of Wattstack, and they showed scenes of L.A., I mean, it's just a great documentary. And, of course, the one where the Emotions are singing in a church, it's "Peace Be Still." Just moves me. "Peace Be Still." You know, if you know the Emotions, those sisters' vocals are just, their harmony is just so beautiful. But Rance Allen was in the opening part of it. And I remember listening to Rance Allen, "I Belong to You." And if some of you remember that, I'm going to play that because I think that's a good thing to play. This is Rance Allen, "I Belong to You."
let me say, I apologize. I made a mistake, and I'm going to correct it. Rance Allen Group. Rance Allen. He also passed away this, I think he was 71 years old. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I first saw him my nephew had, when Rance Allen came to Milwaukee, I did some work with him, took pictures and so forth, and went to a number of the prominent churches in Milwaukee. And like I said, my first exposure to Rance Allen was, you know, Watts Stack. So you got to get that. We're going to talk today about Caucasian evangelicals and their hypocrisy. And there's a piece that a brother put out from an article that a Caucasian wrote a few years ago about the hypocrisy of white evangelicals. Because I think you got to understand, and I'm going to talk to you and hope to lead you to my good friend, my good friend and brother, you know, to his His peace. Let me see it there. Do I have that somewhere? Brother Jeremiah Kamara, you know, his holy hierarchy, the religious roots of racism in America, the Christianity that was developed. That's why I'm saying to us, brothers and sisters, man, I know that we think that this universal religion that the European has said is universal is something that we can utilize for. I know there's brothers and sisters who talk about liberation theology and or prosperity gospel, you know, or just the Church of God in Christ, which, of course, Rance Allen was supposed to be from. I'm not sure if he from that. I believe he was from the Church of God in Christ. And, of course, the Church of God in Christ are supposed to be the most adamant of the religious groups, you know, of Christianity for us, you know, because there's Baptists, Methodists, Lutheran. I mean, there's all kinds of denominations of Christianity, like other religions. There's all kinds of denominations, you know, and that's, of course, is the confusion, isn't it? One thinks that one is better than the other, or one is more self-righteous than the other, you know, because they want to make sure that their religion, what they talk about, is the way, the only way. I think what I've experienced in my life is the dogma of the religion. We have a caller, 646-646. Good morning.
Hey, Odios, what's happening, brother? I thought you was taking the week off, man. What happened? Sweet baby Jesus told you to stay in the house?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I was on my way, but all the things were postponed because of Corona, man. You know, the coronavirus is spiking in the Midwest, especially in Wisconsin. I was going to go to Milwaukee. Although what's interesting about this, Jay, it is not spiking in Milwaukee more so than it is spiking in the rural and other places in the state of Wisconsin. That's a fact, you know, although it is there. And so those things were postponed. So in my mindset, my better judgment, and even though I haven't been to Milwaukee, this is the longest I've been not going and not visiting, well over a year now, because it was September of last year. And then, of course, the corona hit in March of this year. In fact, even earlier than that. And so I haven't been in a while. I'm here again. And hopefully I'll have a chance to get out sooner or later. More than likely with these next 2 months, it won't be this year. And it may not be earlier next year because, you know, you know, it's tough. You know, it's terrible.
It's about to get rougher if this cracker get back in office tomorrow. But listen, I just wanted to say right quick, man, Rance Allen, hell of a singer, man.
Yeah.
Hell of a singer. I didn't get on to him till maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Uh-huh. I'm not a real gospel guy.
Right.
But I heard the brother, man, one day, man, and he just brought me to tears, man.
Oh,
When I heard that he passed, I was real hurt, man.
Yeah. That's why I played that.
Some people just hurt you when the ancestors take them back. And he, from all I've read about him, he was just a beautiful brother, man.
Yeah.
Helped a lot of people. And, I mean, he could sing, man. Yeah. He really, you know, some people just have the spirit in them when they sing gospel music, man. And he was one of those cats that had that spirit, man, you know, because I remember one of the first times I saw him was on BET.
Mm.
You know, one of their gospel shows.
Sure.
I think it was
Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones Gospel.
Yeah, I think it was his show. And man, that brother threw down, man. And yeah. I was just real hurt, man, with the passing of the brother, because if he passed away from this corona, man, that just makes it even more more tragic, man. Yeah. You know, really. But listen, I wanted to ask you this right quick. You were talking about that Watts. Yeah.
Watts stack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where did you catch that at? That
Netflix one. Yeah, it came out, and I saw it at the theater when it came out back in '72, and
okay.
And it's been one of my favorite documentaries. We produced it. We did. Al, what was the brother's name? Al? Oh, man, it's escaping me right now. But anyway, we produced it. It came out of Memphis, Tennessee. It's Memphis.
Al Bell.
Yep, Al Bell. Thank you, brother. Memphis, Tennessee. And they came to Los Angeles 5 years after the Watts riots to put on a program to benefit the community. Stax Records. Stax was just as hot as Motown at the time, yeah. Of course, with Isaac Hayes and many other Bar K's and so forth. And you know, so they didn't have all of their acts on there, but majority of them did. Like Luther Ingram was not there, but how they edited that piece, you think he was there, you know. And Luther Ingram was hot at that time with the songs that he had. So I'm saying, in fact, one of them is filmed. You gotta get Wostak. You can go on. You can go to YouTube. I think you can get it. But is when they're at this nightclub, and it's August, because there's one where a European Jew and Chuck D are commentating on the documentary. They're commentating, and what they say is that Johnny Taylor is performing, and Rufus Thomas introduces him at this club, and all these pimps and players come in. Cats coming out these cars in August with these big fur coats on and so forth. It's the 70s. It's the early 70s, you know, and it's a dynamic documentary. It really is. It's my favorite, Wattstack. You can go to YouTube. I think you can see the whole thing on YouTube. If not, I'm quite sure you can catch a number of the songs, you know. And
yeah, I'm a definitely, because I've seen it, but you know, you see something that you really don't pay that much attention to it. But I didn't even know that Rance Allen was in it until I saw a clip the other day of him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm definitely when I get a chance to check it out. I was having a good laugh last night because of Ralph with that Sara Sutsetti nonsense. I mean, I whenever you need a good laugh, you know, look at some Sara Sutsetti and you'll get a good chuckle with, you know, excellent profanity.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the
context.
I tell you, I never heard of Sara, the little general before, and some brothers and sisters brought him to Milwaukee, and there were children and so forth, and he was just, I mean, totally profanity laced. And then of course I've seen him, I met him, and a number of times, and he talks about the great scholar. He talks about sitting at the feet of Doc Ben, sitting at the feet of Dr. Clark. So, and I know he wasn't cussing like that, you know.
Oh yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't as bad, but he used to every now and then. Professor Smalls would have to tell him to chill every now and then.
Yeah,
because he could be real. He could be real vulgar, B.
Yeah.
But hey, I tell you this. He know his stuff, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
He's read all those books.
Yes.
Now, you know, I mean, Sonny's a character, B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember the first time I met Sonetta. I didn't know who he was. And
okay.
I didn't know what he was doing. We were sitting in the park playing chess. Well, I was playing backgammon. He was playing chess. And we got into a conversation about, of all people, Al Sharpton.
Yeah,
that was the first conversation we ever had, was about Al Sharpton. And mind you, we was around a whole bunch of Negroes too. And he said, and I said, Are you serious? You know, Al is a card man, an agent, and he said, oh, you know, he knew. Yeah. But, you know, most people around us didn't know. And that's when he first started making the videos on 125th Street. Because he used to make videos in front of this place called Mark 125. When I was coming up back in the day, I had worked there with my Jenga, who unfortunately passed away. He had a bookstore in there called Amiran Isis.
Okay.
And, hey, man, that's where I met Khalid Muhammad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. And you know, one of the most beautiful memories I had was Khalid and Phyllis Savon Stickney.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. I agree with you. Bro. I love that sister.
Just imagine that's beautiful.
Man, love that beautiful
that
sister.
She was
yeah.
a Khalid coming, walking by you, coming into your store, you know, talking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people don't realize Khalid was a very nice, very approachable brother. You know, the fear that people had of Khalid in a sense was warranted, but he wasn't like that if you had known what you've been around
right.
him. He wasn't threatening. He wasn't somebody that was intimidating. I mean, he was intimidating because of his blackness, but he was just a regular cat.
Yeah.
You know, I think he may have at the time had one or two guys with him, but other than that, he walked down the street a hollow man. You know, he was real. He was he was a regular, you know, buddy. He was, I tell you, man, he was a beautiful man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was one. You know, that Nation of Islam glow that they have? Well, that brother was the personification of it. And he was a sharp dresser.
Yes, he was.
I mean, man, that brother could dress. He was always dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
You know, it always had some sort of African, you know, emblem on them or something. If it was just a tie or a patch or a bow tie or a scarf or something, you always knew he was an African man.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I love just him. I love Khalid. When Khalid was promoting the Million Man March, had a chance to meet him, be on the stage with him, because I was one of the organizers locally, along with Minister William Muhammad of Muhammad's Mosque No. 3 in Milwaukee. And I had a chance to talk and meet Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And, of course, Farrakhan had to give him up because of his presentation he did in New York, jamming up the European Jews. And so in order for the permits and so forth to happen, they had to give up Khalid Abdul Muhammad.
He was a hell of a showman, though.
Yeah, he sure was. Listen, I'm going to take a break, Jay.
Like, one of his lectures.
Yep.
He was on point, man.
Yeah, oh,
He'd have you cracking up.
Yep.
Especially when you talk about Messy Jesse or straight back late, whatever that thing that he said about the white woman, man. That was a classic line.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break, brother. Stay with me, Jay. And we're on the backside. On the other side, we're going to talk about these Caucasian evangelicals with their hypocritical ass. All right?
Oh, man. I love Sky Daddy.
Okay, man. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Man, to be paid back. some get back. Payback. Payback. Can't dig that backstabbing.
Oh no!
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Black Therapy Central. And then after that is from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations for Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shawnee B. And then on Fridays, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. The big payback. That's what's going to happen tomorrow, right? It's going to be the big payback on Trump. Folks are going to come in so hot and so heavy, and that they're going to project that he's going to be the winner tomorrow. It won't be the need to delay the count of the votes because it's going to be overwhelming. I know Brother Jay don't think so, but... I understand Brother Jay, and I kind of agree, because you never know what can happen. There's a lot of shenanigans, skullduggery, a lot of wrongdoing, especially from this cat. Well, what's interesting is that you have a man whose history has from the time he was born. He has been a liar, a cheater, an underminer, conniver. He's narcissistic. All of these things. You know, my daughter has a friend, and her son is married to a Caucasian. Had on a website the Make America Great hat on and voted for Trump. Had their little I voted and voted for Trump. And it's caused some problems in the family, you know. Because when you understand and know what Trump is, and yet here he is talking about the greatest thing that happened to black people since Abraham Lincoln. This man is, but the fact that his behavior and his history and all the things that he's done, you remember back when the demonstrations were happening and him and a whole bunch of others left the White House and were going to walk to this church for this photo op, and they cleared the streets of demonstrators with tear gas and rubber bullets so he could take a photo op with a Bible in his hand. I'm quite sure you've probably seen the meme on that
where he's struck by lightning, being the hypocrite that he is. But understand something, brothers and sisters. Understand something. The theology of this country is rooted in white supremacy. Check out my good brother Jeremiah Kamara's documentary, Holy Hierarchy, the religious roots of racism in America. The theology that they've imposed upon us and the world has its roots in white supremacy, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. But yet, because we have embraced it, because it has been imposed upon us, and we have embraced it, we find it very hard to believe and to conceive that those who practice it would support a man with three different wives, multiple kids, over 20-something sexual harassment cases against them, on camera talking about, I can do anything I want. I can grab them by the, you know, I do whatever hell I want to do. And he has done just that. Constantly gaslighting the public about, even though you're seeing it, don't believe it. Even though I've done it, I'll say I didn't and you believe it. And Jay may be right. He may win this election again tomorrow. Not, of course, by popular vote. You know, he lost by popular vote almost 3 million, I believe it was. But he won the key places. And the fact that if you win, you get all the electoral votes. It could be the slimmest of margins, but you won, so you get those electoral votes. Whatever you need to do to get to 270. So a brother, Benjamin Dixon. There was a piece that came out right after he won, like I think in 2018, January of 2018, by John Pavlovich. Why the white evangelicals, this is why people are through with you. And the brother reads it. It's a deep piece. It's a good piece. Why they are through with you.
It is entitled, White Evangelicals, This Is Why People Are Through With You. And here's his open letter. He said, "Dear white evangelicals, I need to tell you something. People have had it with you. They're done. They want nothing to do with you any longer. And here's why. They see your hypocrisy, your inconsistency, your incredibly selective mercy, and your thinly veiled supremacy. For 8 years, they watched you relentlessly demonize a black president, a man faithfully married for 26 years, a doting father and husband without a hint of moral scandal or the slightest whiff of infidelity. They watched you deny his personal faith, convictions, argue his birthplace, and assail his character, all without cause or evidence. They saw you brandish scriptures to malign him and to use the laziest of racial stereotypes in criticizing him. And through it all, white evangelicals, you never once suggested that God placed him where he was. You never publicly offered prayers for him and his family. You never welcomed him to your Christian universities. You never gave him the benefit of the doubt in any instance. You never spoke of offering him forgiveness or mercy. Your evangelists never publicly thanked God for his leadership. Your pastors never took to the pulpit to offer solidarity with them. You never made any effort to affirm his humanity or show the love of Jesus to him in any quantifiable measure. You violently opposed him at every single turn without offering a single ounce of the grace you claim as the heart of your faith tradition. You jettisoned Jesus as you dispensed damnation on him. and yet you give carte blanche to a white Republican man so riddled with depravity, so littered with extramarital affairs, so unapologetically vile, with such a vast resume of moral filth that the mind boggles. And the change in you is unmistakable. It has been an astonishing conversion to behold, a being born again. With him, you suddenly find religion. With him, you're now willing to offer full absolution. With him, all is forgiven without repentance or admission. With him, you're suddenly able to see some invisible, deeply buried heart. With him, sin has become unimportant, compassion no longer a requirement. With him, you only see providence. And white evangelicals, all those people who have had it with you, they see it clearly. They recognize the toxic source of your inconsistency. They see that pigmentation and party are your soul deities. They see that you aren't interested in perpetuating the love of God or emulating the heart of Jesus. They see that you aren't burdened to love the least or to be agents of compassion or to care for your Muslim, gay, African, female, or poor neighbors as yourself. They see that all you're really interested in doing is making a God in your own ivory image and demanding that the world bow down to it. They recognize this all about white, Republican Jesus, not dark-skinned Jesus of Nazareth. And I know you don't realize it, but you're digging your own grave in these days, the grave of your very faith tradition. Your willingness to align yourself with cruelty is a costly marriage. Yes, you've gained a Supreme Court seat, a few months with the presidency as a mouthpiece, and the cheap high of temporary power, but you've lost a whole lot more. You've lost an audience with millions of wise, decent, good-hearted, faithful people with eyes to see this ugliness. You've lost any moral high ground or spiritual authority with a generation. You've lost any semblance of Christ-likeness. You've lost the plot. And most of all, you've lost your soul. I know it's likely you'll dismiss these words. The fact that you've even made your bed with such malevolence shows how far gone you are and how insulated you are from the reality in front of you. But I had to try at least to reach you. It's what Jesus would do. Maybe you need to read what he said again, if he still matters to you. That is an open letter. White Evangelicals, This Is Why People Are Through With You by John Pavlovich. You can read it at johnpavlovich.com. That's John, P-A-V-L-O-V-I-T-Z.com. Extremely powerful words. And it's 2 years old, but I felt like not enough people have heard it. And so I'm re-upping it. And I hope that, that you felt that, because that's the truth. The truth of the matter is it is exposing. If I deferred with him in any place, I would say that this is who they've always been. Maybe we're just realizing it because of Donald Trump. No. Maybe you're just realizing it because of how they treated Barack Obama as opposed to Donald Trump. But this is who they have always been. People try to figure out how could it be that Christians would raise $300,000 for Kyle Rittenhouse, the man who shot and killed two protesters in Kenosha. They're like, what kind of Christians are these? These are the exact same Christians who would go to church, lynch us on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday morning, or go to church on Sunday morning and lynch us on Sunday afternoon. It's the same Christians that we had to oppose to get our civil rights. And are the same Christians who are lined up against us because we're fighting against the police state and they're ready to damn near go to civil war with us. It's the same Christians that fall prey willingly and happily to the QAnon idiocy. It's the type of Christians who view Christianity through the lens of power versus through the lens of the oppressed. They look at it as a tool to maintain their power versus as a tool to liberate people from the powerful. It's this type of Christians who will never admit it, but they are on the side of Pharaoh and not on the side of Moses. You can't possibly read the Bible and be a person who's concerned about liberating people and not identify with Moses in the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. But how can white evangelicals look at that story and believe that they are figuratively the children of Israel or the Moses in the narrative? How can they look at themselves and feel like they are the protagonist in the narrative when in fact they sit in the position and in the seat of Pharaoh all the time? In every way imaginable, politically, economically, socially, they are literally, or rather figuratively, sitting in the seat of Pharaoh. And so, of course, they have to reinterpret the entire Bible to bring some type of justification to them claiming to be Christians. But at the end of the day, they use the Bible as a tool, like most of European history, to be sure, has been laced with people utilizing the Bible as a tool to amass power. So we could go far beyond modern history, go far beyond Jim Crow era. We can go far beyond slavery. We can go back to all the wars, the Crusades, and look that there's a consistent thread. Whenever the Bible has been given into the hands of powerful people, they refuse to interpret it in a way that would liberate the marginalized, the oppressed, because they are the oppressor. So that's the only place I would disagree with this, is that this is not new. It's just that perhaps John, who I support his work, but perhaps he's just coming to terms with it. I came to terms with this many, many years ago when I realized that there had to be a fundamentally different way that we view, that I view God versus the people who I realize we're fighting against in order to get our liberation. White evangelicals, white conservative evangelicals, to be more precise, and even more precise, white conservative evangelicals who refuse to interpret the Bible through the lens of the oppressed and refuse to use the Bible as a tool to liberate people, but instead use it as a bludgeoning tool to maintain their power. And they sit in the seat of Pharaoh, but they pretend as though they are Moses. Talk to you later.
The one problem, of course, if you know me, I have with this, and I appreciate what the brother's coming from, and I definitely appreciate him reading John Pavlich's White Evangelicals. This is why people are through with you. But the comparisons to in ancient Kemet. See, that's where I have a problem. Because there was no Moses. And the fact that they use that comparison to say that as if ancient Kemet was evil. Ancient Kemet, of course, laid the foundation of religion for the world. For the world. There's no doubt that, and once again, I'm saying to you, go get Holy Hierarchy. Find it for yourself. Maybe you can, there. I don't think Holy Hierarchy would be on YouTube. I know Slave Sermons are on YouTube. And, of course, he has two documentaries that I know of, Contradiction and Holy Hierarchy, dealing with religion. Dealing with Christian religion specifically, has it has been imposed on us in our communities. And the irony of it is that when they even talk about prosperity gospel, there's no prosperity in our community. Some individuals, a preacher, a minister, a bishop, but not the people. It's a damn shame when you go to Africa and you see all that Christianity there, even Islam, and yet the people are still poor. So I'll bring others into this conversation. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Yes, you know, as you said, you know, they use that religion, both religions, Christianity and Islam, especially on the continent, to make our people colorblind. See, I was speaking to some brothers there, and they said, brother, well, you know, in Islam, we don't see color, brother. But I told him, I said, well, brother, when the world look at you, though, they see color in you. So, I mean, that is a naive, you know, the position to take. You see all these ethnic groups in your country are ripping off the country, you know, and they are operating race and economy. But you dear, saying, oh, well, you know, brother, we don't see color, while the enemy is using color against you. Now, that song is started off with the big payback.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of ironic because America, I think they're getting the payback now. Because when I came to this country in 1980, we had to leave Jamaica because of the destabilization that America put down on the country. You see, America was shipping in guns, shipping in those little UPS, U.S. Postal Service jump out. We used to call them jump out. That's what they did, the Postal Service deliver in the mail with. America was shipping them down, shipping down M16 rifles to support the opposition government there in Jamaica, Siaga government. And black people shooting and killing each other and wholesale. People would meet you on the street, brother, and ask you, which party you defend? And if you say the wrong thing, they shoot you right there. But it's ironic. No, the chicken has come home to roost.
That's right.
Because it's right here in America now. You see? It's right here in America right now, the payback. Republicans getting ready to shoot Democrats. I see where they shot 3 people in Kansas there recently. I must say a couple of days ago for picking up a sign. You see? So what goes around comes around.
That's right. The law of reciprocity. That's right.
Yeah. Because they support destabilizing other countries. They support it. Now it come right back to them. So let's see what's going to happen tomorrow. I say, regardless of who the hell win, it's the white man. He win.
That's right.
Who we lose. So, you know, it shouldn't be, I think, which Democrat or Republican for black people. In any case, we lose. Our position should be that wherever we make up the mass majority of the population in this country, wherever we make up the mass majority of that community, black people should control the body politics and economics of that community, regardless of who the hell is there. Well, you know what people are going to be advocated for? We want jobs. We need better jobs. We need more jobs. You know, that's what we're going to be advocating for. We ain't going to be advocating for economic and political control of our community like every other ethnic group. You know, so we're going to be chasing our tails. But I don't know who's going to win tomorrow. But I know we're going to catch it anyway.
That's right.
We're going to catch it.
That's right. So we always have.
Prepare. Hey, brother. Hey, brother Oshie. You see that, sis, I don't know if you got to hear the program yesterday with Time for Awakening.
No, I didn't.
That sister guest they had would be an ideal guest for one of your programs. So if you can get in touch with the brothers and see if you can get her as a guest. She was on point, you know, I'm telling you. Anyway, good brother, keep on keeping on, and thank you for this program.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. You have a blessed and wonderful day, man. Peace to you. All right. 267-267, good afternoon. 267, good afternoon. 267-902, good afternoon. Okay, you just want to listen. Okay. I ain't got no problems with that. This election tomorrow, and I know all the indicators, all the prognosticators and so forth, all the people who look at the polls, who look at the strategies and the dynamics. You know, 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. You hear me now?
I sure can, Brother Ralph. How you doing, man? How you been?
Man, I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I got to call out the hypocrisy of that. That where this guy come from? Did he just crawl from underneath a rock? Because that dialogue was totally bogus. What do you think the Klan is?
Yeah.
They're white Christians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The White Citizens Council.
Yep.
They're Christians. Jerry Falwell.
Yep.
John Hagerty. They're Christians.
Yeah.
Billy Graham. I mean, Malcolm told us this in 50-something years ago. Billy Graham preaches white nationalism. Mm-hmm. If you go into church and it has a white picture of Jesus, that's white nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just amazes me that these people come out from underneath a rock trying to justify their false belief system. Now, let's talk about the black evangelicals. You know, let's talk about them. Because, you know, they worship and love a man who killed the sovereign leader of a state, Gaddafi, ordered the hit, bombed more people than we know about with the use of drones, ordered that, instituted gay marriage, which is totally against their belief, but yet they worship this man.
Yeah.
So the thing is totally hypocritical, matter
sure.
Which way you look at it. It's based on falsehood, it's an insult, and, you know, I just can't believe it. I mean, the Klan, all you got to do is research them. They burn crosses. They are a Christian organization. And for you to belong to the same thing, you know, man, look, even these Prince Hall Masons, you know, they got to find out what their origin was.
Yeah.
Because there was one brother named Ray Hagin. You know, I had him like that. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, Ray Hagin's busted him out.
Are you a brother in an unbreakable chain? And I forget, Scott Bethard, I believe that's his name, or General Bethard or something like that, the founder of the Scottish Rites. But yet you got all these Prince Hall Masons walking around here.
Right.
So, you know, man, we ain't got too much time to be talking about them. If we don't, you know, like I got to keep saying it, Brother Oshie, and I got to keep repeating it on your show. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes featuring Teddy Pendergrass said it years ago.
Wake up.
You don't know me by now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, bro, I mean, you'll never know me.
Yeah.
I don't think our people want to know.
Exactly. Exactly, Ralph.
Because
a lot of people, you know, their mindset is, I don't want to know because by knowing, that will make me, I have to change. I have to think better. I have to do better by knowing. They don't want to know.
Because you become responsible.
Exactly.
You become responsible.
Yes.
And that's the reason. It's better to lay down, play victim, than to look up in the mirror and say, what the hell am I doing wrong? You know, it takes a lot. It's so easy to of a person with something we call humility to look in the mirror and say, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I worshiping a president? Don't even want to say African-American for one thing. You know, he looked like me, but he basically told us to kiss his ass for 8 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all these worshipers, man.
Yeah.
So if one thing the white evangelical got over the black one, is at least he's talking their language.
Yeah.
And we worship the coon that never, ever wanted to even have any dealings with us. Matter of fact, he told us basically to kick off, put on your marching shoes and go vote, like so many of them are doing right now for Biden. You know, it's insulting when I hear people that sound like they're intelligent, sound like absolute, look completely foolish and stupid. Because if you're going to vote for that Joe Biden, and I see some of us getting emotional on Facebook, if you don't vote, get off my Facebook. All right, delete. See you later.
Yeah.
You know, next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what are we voting for? Urine or piss? And we're getting so emotional about this because we're so emotionally attached to something called politics. But like Stevie Wonder said, when you believe in something
that you don't understand,
you suffer.
That's
right.
See,
a lot of times we put religion in. I'm going to put politics. Politics mean I'm voting for something because it's an interest to me. I'm getting something back. I'm not getting crapped on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting somebody telling me to kick off my bedroom slippers and put on my marching shoes and just go vote. Or you don't get nothing. All boats ride with the tide. Come on, I ain't forget all that 8 years ago. But
yeah.
No, 12 years ago, but some of us have.
Yeah.
Some of us have. And some of us, we put our fingers in our ear. We cross our eyes. We close our eyes and say, Master Biden is the way to go. Because he got a black woman named Kamala Harris. And, man, please, don't even let me get started there. So, you know, I mean, she could wear her Timberlands and Converses all over the place insulting y'all. But she ain't insulting me, brother. I see through it. So, you know, I just had to call in and vent.
Right on.
Because I'm tired of us, like, acting like we're justifying our own phony belief system. All we got to do is look in the mirror and do something about us. You say they are who they are. The Klan is Christian.
And they will never change. They will never change. And there's nothing we could do. And so therefore, whatever happens tomorrow doesn't make any damn difference because of what's going to happen for us if we don't change the way we think, the way we do things, and become independent. So it doesn't matter, you know.
It don't matter, brother.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for getting so emotional, but stupidity pisses me off.
I hear you.
So, you know, I just got to allow people to be wrong because people allow me to be wrong for so many years. But when I look at people that's supposed to be intelligent and giving our people information, I'm going to hold them accountable every time. That's why they don't like seeing me coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just got to do what I got to do, brother. It's just got to be me.
Right
you
on, Ralph.
I mean? That's what they told me.
Voted
for Biden already, right?
Huh? Man, look, let me tell you something. I ain't going to pull the lever for nothing because I don't want to be responsible for what's coming our way out of either one of either Lucifer or Saint.
Vote for Lucifer or Satan.
Lucifer or Saint.
Yeah.
I ain't voting for either one of them. And I'm saying that publicly.
I hear you.
All right, brother.
Peace. All right. Oh, hold on, Jay. Let me get another caller and I'll get you back in, dear brother. Hold on, Jay. Caller, UK. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi. And good afternoon to Brother Jay. And good afternoon to our great and honorable Brother Ralph. We haven't heard from him in a long time. It's always fantastic when our Brother Ralph rings in.
Oh, I agree. I agree, Brother Paul.
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
Brother Ralph.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
But yeah, Brother Ralph, don't you ever, ever, ever stop being emotional. Because emotional means that your energy in motion. That's what it means. And if you're not energy in motion, you're flatlining. That means you're dead. You understand? So, you know, that's it, bruv. Don't ever stop being emotional because we love it.
I know.
You know, I don't want to take you too far off the subject, but I just want to quickly add this here. You're absolutely right what he says. Absolutely on point. You know, it doesn't matter who gets into power because politics is a game of divide and conquer. And that's all they're there to do is divide and conquer the populace. And I'm just going to say this for the sake of argument, yeah? Donald Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, the dump, yeah? That man there, right? He is, you know, I'm going to give him the credit he deserves, and he deserves a lot of credit because he has been the mastermind. For the last 4 years, he's managed to divert every subject and get people to focus on him. All we've heard for the last 4 years is Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, and we've not heard nothing about all the underhand tactics and all the laws he's changed and removed and all the international people he's been linking up to work his agenda. All we've heard is Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. He's made himself the center of attraction, and I'll give him the trump card for that, because he's really done well.
Yeah,
right, but while he's
guy.
Been diverted us, you're absolutely right. We've not been paying attention to ourselves and what we need to do, right? Both in domestically, nationally, and on the international front. We have not paid attention. Absolutely. In actual fact, in these last 4 years, we've probably economically, socially, and every other state has gone backwards in massive amount, looking and watching the center of attraction, Donald, Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, dump. And that is the reality of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go too far off subject, but today is the Ethiopian, some sort of Ethiopian sovereignty day, yeah? And today I was on the radio, but this is my take on it. And not a lot of people ain't going to like this, especially if you're of the Rastafarian persuasion. The great and honourable Marcus Garvey wrote a piece about Haile Selassie. And basically, to sum it up, not to offend anybody, but he said Haile Selassie was a coward. He said that he wrote a whole piece in his newspaper trying to explain why men who left America, men leave America and the Caribbean to fight in war. What Marcus Garvey said, what he wrote in his paper, he couldn't understand why people, you know, men were giving up their lives to go and fight in the Ethiopian war, leaving America and leaving the Caribbean. And this man left Ethiopia and ended up in England, guided by Winston Churchill and under protection. Now, Rastas give the story that, yeah, he was in a place called Bath, which is North England, in the north of England. But when you read the story better than that, you'll learn something more. And I just want to leave this with your listeners. Mussolini, right, was a...
Brother Paul, you broke up.
Mussolini is a conspiracy, yeah?
Brother Paul, repeat that because you broke up.
Mussolini, Benito Mussolini, lived in Britain and he was a British agent. Okay, you can go and do the research if you think I'm talking a lot of hocus pocus and fairy tales. So what I'm trying to point out to you now, when you know we've heard this story about Haile Selassie, and the thing doesn't add up why he ended up in Britain. One of the reasons why he ended up in Britain because the British set a trap for him. The British were behind overthrowing Ethiopia and taking the credence, and they used the Italians to do it. They put Benito Mussolini up front as this fascist, okay? He lived in Britain, he was trained as an MI5 agent, and they sent him to Italy. That's what they did. And Haile Selassie was set up in a trap and ended up in England. And while they made their way into North Africa, because the Second World War was about a grab for Africa. It was about who was going to control the riches in Africa. So the point I'm trying to make is this, to tie in with today. These politicians are tricksters. They're tricksters. They're there to divide the populace and keep you divided, keep you focused on them. And while you're focused on them, they're removing the goalposts, changing the law, and pulling away your power economically and every other status. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, why I tell this story about Selassie, because to me, a lot of our people are still romanticizing and fantasizing, calling Selassie God and all this sort of nonsense here, when in reality, he was totally hoodwinked and totally set up by the British. And they are the experts at that. Don't undermine them. They are the experts. Now, I keep asking the question, why most of the world is speaking English?
That's right. Yeah?
And it's because these people have managed to impose themselves on you.
That's right.
Impose yourself on your thinking, on your mentality, on your psyche. They've totally taken control. All your books, your laws is in English. And this is the reality we face, Brother Ochi. This is
That's
the
right.
reality. So sometimes we've got to face the reality and come off of this drunkenness we're on and this addicted to white we're on and say, we've been hoodwinked. We have absolutely been hoodwinked. And all this politics is just a game. The Romans did it to the English. The Romans, when they came to England, that's what they imposed on them. They used all these strategies, Christianity, religion, politics. That's what they used. And the English perfected it, and they used it around the world to capture the world. So, you know, there we are. Today, like you rightfully said, tomorrow's decision will not make no difference to us. What will make a difference to us is when we start focusing on ourselves, both domestically, nationally, and internationally. That's what's going to make a difference to us.
Ashe. I agree Brother Paul, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You know, you did some brilliant work, Ochi. Brilliant work. Brilliant platform. You got some brilliant guests. You know, it's so brilliant, you know. And we just got to keep it real. When we focus on us, when we come together, there's nobody can stop us. And that's what they know. That's why they devise all these strategies to keep us apart.
That's right. I'm telling you, and you're right. When the African purged itself of its ignorant mindset that the Europeans imposed upon us and began to think independently, it began to think in an African way of love, respect, and trust, and willing to work together, it's over. It's over. We'll be able to control our land, control our resources, our families, and so forth. It is a new day dawning in the world, not America, not in the UK or in any African country, but in the world. And that's what needs to happen. And it needs to happen as soon as possible. Time is of the essence, particularly as I look at the continent and what's happening on the continent and how these other countries are coming into it. Time is of the essence. I look at our situation here in America. Time is of the essence. You know, so appreciate it, Brother Paul. Let me get Jay in here. Jay, good afternoon. Jay?
Hey, Oshie, listen, man. You got to take the locks off of your brain when it comes to the white man thinking he your friend. The white man is your perpetual enemy. If you remember that, you understand everything. When you forget that, you become deceived. And what's going to happen tomorrow in the days ahead, maybe, and I hope, is the wake-up call for this Negro. Because he's going to see he has no position in this country. He's of no real value to this country other than being used and abused. And when this devil gets back into office, all I want to know is, what the Negro think going to do? What is his plan? Are the gatekeepers going to put forward a plan? Now, think about the Negro King. They want to go after Ice Cube for merely talking to a man, whereas they've been talking to the white man for God knows how long, basically giving us to him like a pimp. And in return, what have they got from the pimp other than giving the pimp the money that they use black people as jobs for? So the reality is, what happens tomorrow and the day after if the no good white man get into office, and if the so-called good no good white man get into office, is your position gonna change, or are you gonna be able to not get beat when you run out of cotton short? You understand what I'm saying? We not in no better position. Nothing's gonna change drastically. The reality is, if Biden gets into office, you're gonna have the same crop of Negroes as your gatekeeper leading you to a damn thing. And them being able to go back into the White House. So a Negro like Perm Daddy Al, he now be happy. Don't you think?
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt.
Now, think about this.
All them cats, all the civil rights organizations, all those Negroes.
That Perm Daddy was going to the White House, what did he get for black people other than making his black ass rich? What did he get for black people in the 8 years that he was going meeting with Puff the Magic Negro Obama? Did he get black people anything of value and substance?
There was nothing specifically done for us as American Africans that we can honestly say, because of 8 years of Barack Obama, this is a position.
But
this is a elevation.
Took it care of?
Say what?
Did the Gay Mafia get taken care of?
Oh, man, definitely.
Elevate their position.
Definitely,
in this country.
The European
Jews.
Now,
let me leave you with this, let me leave you with this. If Fredo gets back into office tomorrow, you know that the Supreme Court could gut those rights that the Gay Mafia got, right?
Perhaps.
Okay, now, if they do gut the rights that the Gay Mafia got, do you think the Gay Mafia gonna stand around and be punks like black folks?
No, they have too much influence. They have too much influence and too much wealth. So, I mean, I don't see anything that the Supreme Court can do. You know, maybe they might rescind gay marriage. I don't know, and I don't care. But the bottom line is that homosexuality and those who are in it, particularly Caucasians, have a lot of influence and a lot of wealth.
But how do they have more? How should they? Now, think about this. How should a number 10 elevate themselves up to a number 2? Ain't black folks supposed to be in the number 2 position because of a long tenure being the slave to the white man and us being the third one here, with the white man being second? It shouldn't have taken on to be that black people should have more of a say-so, a position, and right in this country. And here it is, in the last 10 to 15 years, you let a bunch of degenerate, low-life freaks take over your position, and you think your black behind should be respected? Get out of here. You're never supposed to elect somebody overstep you, just like the Baba Louie and the rest of them. That's why we are pathetic and sad people when it comes to not wanting independence and sovereignty.
I agree.
We're a joke.
I agree.
We're a joke.
I agree. Thanks a lot, my brother. I agree.
Hotel.
Listen, brothers and sisters, we're about to close out. I want to thank all those who called. Brother Ralph, always. Definitely Brother Paul, definitely for always listening and contributing them. You know it, Jay. Appreciate you. And all the others, my good friend Taishi, all of them who call in just to listen, I know there are others. I've seen them here, you know, and I appreciate it. But the bottom line is, regardless of what happens, or irregardless, regardless of what happens tomorrow, and whether it is known tomorrow night, in fact, when Trump won, it wasn't known till like about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when Wisconsin came in for him, you know. But regardless of what happens tomorrow, our situation still begs for us to come together, to throw off the shackles of ignorance, to purge ourselves of all this stupidity. That's why I love that quote by Dr. King. I love that quote, you know. In fact, it is my favorite quote, you know. Sincere ignorance and conscientious. There's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Sincere. To be sincere means to heartfelt, to ignorance. Now, understand that ignorance in and of itself is not a bad thing. Ignorance is not bad. That means it's just an absence of knowledge. But to be sincere to absence of knowledge, to not to want to know, not to find out or research, sincere to ignorance, and then to be conscious of your stupidity, to be aware that you're stupid and not want to change, just like we just said earlier. A lot of us don't want to know. Because by knowing, our behavior must change. We have a lot of work to do, regardless of what happens tomorrow. Because our whole being should be about independence, self-determination, liberation,
and sovereignty for us as a people. That is our only salvation. It is it is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the European is the minds of the oppressed. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's been a great program and a great day. You have a blessed and wonderful day. And an even better tomorrow. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bifahorie. Bifahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.